I grow up, yeah, I know I'm going to be. I'm going to be the man who listens to podcasts next to you. And I would listen to 500 podcasts, and I would listen to 500 more just to be the man who listened to 1,000 podcasts and wound up at your door. That's it.
Is that it? Merry Mini Monday, Chunkies. I'm Carter, and I thought that that was first a rehearsal and then I would join, but I think it's better this way that Jordan had the solo.
It's never been that way.
I don't know why. I thought it was like, we do it once and then I join in. I'm Carter. Merry Mini Monday. I'm Carter.
For both of the people still listening, I'm Dosh.
I was actually going to be done way earlier, but Carter didn't join in, so I went to the da-da-da-das.
Yeah, that's my bad. I think it was worth. Yeah. I need
I'm
you
Jordan.
To
know. Hey, who are
I'm
you?
Jordan, awesome.
Yeah. I think I need you to know, Jordan, that my world turned upside down because I thought for some reason you were kind of teasing like, hey, it's going to be, I could listen to 5,000 podcasts. And I was like, okay. So he's
1,000. I did the math.
1,000 podcasts. And so I thought you were going to start. And so I was just like, what? Because I was like, I couldn't listen. 2,000 podcasts. So, but it would, when it no, turned
that's
into
week. That's next week probably.
Well, yeah, walking 5,000 or 1,000 miles. What's the actual distance there?
It's 1,000.
1,000. Guys, I want to start our podcast today. Well, it's already started.
We're here. Whatever plans you had, stuff. I'm sorry, they're gone. We've started it now.
I want to do an immediate rank you very much, and this
ooh,
one is
cool.
Especially themed to. The late, great Queen Elizabeth
died
at the age of 96. We're recording on a Friday. She died yesterday. 70-year reign. I did not know that the...
That's why England's so wet all the time.
Because of all the rain.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that their anthem, their national anthem, changes to gender. Mm-hmm. So it's now God Save the King. It's
God
wild.
God Save King Charles III.
So I was inspired in what Charlie, I normally do when I'm inspired is read Cosmo. And I have a list here of this year, June 13th, 2022. Now understand this is from Cosmopolitan Online. The 25 best royal movies for maximum palace intrigue.
Ooh. Cool. Are we doing a rank you very much on this or a yes or pass?
This is a rank you very much, my friends.
Excellent.
Perfect. You very much. And if you haven't played rank you very much, it's super easy. You can kind of play it with anything. It's really two chunks stamped if it has something to do with the movie business. But I have here these top 25 royal themed movies,
best royal themed
movies, according to one person, Leah Marilla Thomas. So it will be a bit all over the place.
Please.
These guys get to guess back and forth, and once they miss three, if their opponent has more guesses correct than they, then it's a win.
So let's
begin. Who would like to start us here?
Jordan, you can go first.
Okay. The King's Speech.
Bing, bing, bing. The King's Speech is, this is one of them scrolly boys that does like a cute little,
it
like says
boy.
Something about it. It's number 13.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. 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 The Princess Diaries.
A bing, bing, bing.
Nice.
Princess Diaries is number.
So it's not just, sorry, just to be clear, it's not just actual British
not
royals.
Actual
it's
British like, royals.
It's King and Queen theme.
King and Queen theme.
Princess Diaries number 6.
Very good. Very good. Let me think. Maybe perhaps. Oh, Downton Abbey, the movie.
Oh. They're not royal, though, are they?
It involves the royals about as much as anything else with royals in it. I'm pretty sure the movie specifically involves the royals.
That is a bong bong, my friend.
Okay.
Strike one. I love and hate this list. I'm excited for y'all.
Okay. Every online list of movies... I'm convinced that they bring in a list of 10 and then somebody's like, 10? What list has 10 things? Make it 30. And then they run out of movies, 13 movies in because they only have 10.
Yeah.
I hate these lists.
Okay. Let's go a left field choice. The Sword and the Stone.
Bong Bong doesn't make its way to Cosmo.
Yeah. You know, I didn't think it would.
Hence the guess.
Well, gosh, I don't know.
Best royal movies.
The Favorite.
Oh.
Bing, 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 number two.
That's good.
Oh, wow.
Best royal movies.
It's shocking, sexy, rude, and about a queen you probably don't know that much about. About a queen you probably don't know that much about? Get out of here. Fire you from Cosmo. About twice? Get out of here.
Boo.
The Favorite
Boo,
Cosmo. Rules. The Favorite rules. It slaps. It rips, etc.
It does, by the way.
It does. It's so good. Each of you have one strike. Doge is up next.
This is harder than I thought it would be.
I know, dude. I don't have much of an interest in royals to begin with. And so my vault in my head does not keep them for very long.
Let me do it. You both have one strike here. Let me do a little bit of readage here.
Hold on.
Okay.
Because we're in the middle of a round where one of us did, in fact, get one. So let's...
Yeah. That's why the pressure's on me now.
Let's wait until Doge takes his swing. Then we can start to divvy out some help.
The Princess Bride.
Nice.
A bing to the bing. Number four.
Yeah. Good call.
Royal movies are not a traditional genre per se, but that kind of makes picking a movie to watch all the more fun. Stories about monarchs and courts span both film categories and centuries. So pause your rewatch of The Crown, put on a pot of tea. Let's get into the 25 best royal movies.
Pause your rewatch of The Crown, put on a pot of tea.
It's great to be queen or king, said the subheading of the title.
I know my next guess.
Very good.
Thanks.
Man, what movies, huh? You know?
Are there any?
That is the question. Didn't Denzel just do Macbeth? There's no way that's on a Cosmo
list.
There's
no way Macbeth is on a Cosmo list.
Stupid question.
If it was for like Good Movies Magazine, probably.
Probably.
Can I ask a question
without GMM?
Can I ask a question? I'm going to ask a conceptual question real quick.
Ask it then.
Would this list include
who decides
something
who
like,
gets to rule? Who should rule over another man?
Would this list include something like The Lion King? Not The Lion King specific, just something like it. Okay.
This list includes one cartoon.
Wow.
Okay. And it's not The Sword in the Stone? Okay.
And be hella careful with that one because there's plenty of royal cartoons out there and this one might not have been one we expected.
Yikes.
Now I want to find the cartoon.
I know you do. Like I shouldn't have said
as like a flex.
As like a challenge.
Challenge.
A challenge.
Don't mind if I Bambi. No, that's not it, Doge.
Lock it in. Cars too. Man, I'm struggling.
Is it called Truckingham Palace in the Cars universe?
Oh, I feel like it probably is. Of course. You crazy boy.
Powerful. It is honestly crazy how I can't think of a single other movie with a king or a queen in it. That is bonkers. What about the? Isn't there The Great? Right.
That's a show.
Is that a show?
Yeah. I will give you a pass on that one.
The Great.
It's a good
is
show.
A show.
That is a show.
Can I just say the inevitable Queen Elizabeth movie we're getting in the next 18 months? Is that allowed?
This list is a gift, though. I'm excited.
It's going to make us mad, huh?
Yeah, it's going to make us really mad.
Hey, say Bohemian Rhapsody. That band is called Queen.
That's very good. No.
What if that's number one?
Oh, dude, wait. Gladiator.
Great guess, Bong Bong.
Okay.
Great guess. I like where your head's at.
The editors over at Cosmo are not so much into Gladiator. I'll tell you what they are into, though, is the movie Enchanted.
Bong Bong again.
Nah, they're not
in
it.
Y'all both have two strikes. You got one strike
on either.
I love the swing, though, dude. I really do.
You're tied.
I have now said every movie that we did as part of our series,
sure.
Summer of Love, Royal Romance.
Sure.
So I am out.
Yeah. Dude, it's Cosmo. The Princess Switch.
Bong Bong. Doge, if you get one here, you win.
I'm going to get the cartoon here is what I'm going to do.
Oh, Lord.
I hate Rank You very much. It's actually one of my favorite games we play, but it infuriates me so many times that they're like, best action movies, Fox and the Hound. And it's like, eat my lunch.
We have a hand, excuse me. We have a handful of Discord members on that highest Patreon tier, the $5 tier, that do things like this on Letterboxd, and they're much better.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Than this.
Infinitely
so
better.
So if you ever are hesitant to be like, oh, I don't know what people think. First of all, you shouldn't care. It's not that big a deal. Also,
relax.
Guaranteed it'll be better than some of the so-called more well-known ones out there. Mm-hmm. Make your list, y'all.
You know what people do love at Cosmo, though? As like when they're talking about like all our King and Queen movies, they're like the best one of all of them is Cinderella.
Bong. Bong.
No, but they're like, we shouldn't write it on our list, though.
You want to tie? Let's tie and just hear the list.
Sure. Yeah.
Number one.
We're going to have to cut 8 minutes of silence out of this bit anyway.
Number one, the Sofia Coppola classic comedy, Marie Antoinette.
Okay.
All right.
Number two was The Favorite. That was super impressive. Good job. They mentioned The Princess Switch. They said before The Princess Switch, A Christmas Prince, and even Red, White, and Royal Blue, there was
Prince
this modern royalty
guess.
Rom-com, The Prince and Me.
Okay.
The what Princess Bride.
Hey, what is Red, White, and Royal Blue?
I
That's
have no
nothing.
Idea.
That's
that sounds
nothing.
Amazing. The Princess Bride was number four. You got that one. The Last Emperor, 1987. They went in through like a Criterion-type movie in here at number five. Number six was The Princess Diaries. Number seven, Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, I had that thought, actually.
Okay. Number eight.
Decided to skip
one of two times that the beautiful Cate Blanchett was nominated as the role of Elizabeth in the movie, just Elizabeth, simply Elizabeth in the 90s, about Elizabeth I. The Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
I was going to guess enough. That.
Okay. Was number nine. You didn't guess any of the things you were going to guess. Richard III, starring Ian McKellen and Robert Downey Jr., that's okay, number 10. Number 11 was Cleopatra, the old Elizabeth Taylor flick. Number 12, Coming to America. Okay. Number 13, The King's Speech. Number 14, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
Whoa. The Guy Ritchie one?
Yeah. Number 15 of all the King Arthur movies.
Yeah.
And all the King's Men. They couldn't put off as a Benedict again. Royal Holidays, number 15. Number 16, Troy.
But not Gladiator.
Well, they like the it's but Brad Pitt is in Troy.
Yeah.
You know okay, man.
Number 17, The Madness of King George, one of the many times that Helen Mirren has played a king a queenly character. Black Panther, number 18. Royalty. The cartoon is number 19, Anastasia.
Okay.
Number All 20, right. Dune.
No.
Number 21, The Man in the Iron Mask.
You can't put Dune on this list.
Number 22, Margot Robbie and Saoirse Ronan, Mary Queen of Scots. Number 23, The Young Victoria, Emily Blunt. Number 24, I'll Save for Last. Number 25, a movie I'd never heard of called A Little Chaos with King Louis XIV. Number 24, and I'm going to say this and we'll immediately go into ads. Number 24 is Jupiter Ascending.
You're kidding me.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Number 24.
And we're back, and we found out that one of Cosmo's favorite royal movies is Jupiter Ascending.
One of my favorite baseball TV shows is The Walking Dead. What does that even mean?
Lana and Lily Wachowski were wild for this one, but I kind of love it. The royal family in question may be far away in space, but they're dramatic AF. You haven't lived until you've watched Eddie Redmayne's Pretty Prince throw a tantrum. Even Joffrey from Game of Thrones.
That is actually true. That's actually true. Eddie Redmayne's tantrum in that movie is pretty bananas.
Yeah.
It's 100%. It's 100% bizarre. 100%. I had a quick little bit of Star Wars news. We hardly ever do in the news post our ad break, but Lee Jung Jae of Squid Game fame has been cast in the Star Wars series, The Acolyte.
Has anybody stopped to consider that no one cares anymore?
That was literally my next question. So in the sense of, like, if all of your favorites were put together, Jordan, like, what gets you back into, like, a Star Wars show, an announcement that Denis Villeneuve and Jake
Gyllenhaal.
That would definitely pique my interest, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. There definitely is that kind of fatigue, and we've talked about that a lot, that helped build Five for Fighting for us.
It feels like there are two speeds right now with these things, with the MCU, with Star Wars, with these big franchises that are scrambling for anyone to care about anything with any real passion. I think there's two big things that are happening right now. One is that they're taking these huge swings like a Kenobi and just being like, what if we just mess with the canon a little bit?
Yeah.
Just to spice things up. And what if we do it in a really uninspired way with directors that don't care?
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, great, that's the ticket. And then the other thing is you do something like The Acolyte, which I assume is going to be some extended universe pull that nobody cares about because nobody cares about it.
Yeah.
So it's like, do you not care because nobody cares, or do you not care because they're going to beef it anyway?
Yeah.
Pick your reason for not caring at this point.
Yeah. There is just
Boba Fett.
And it'll be another television show within that universe. Disney Plus is doing tons of that kind of stuff, especially with having the MCU and the Star Wars universes. She-Hulk has been a fun reprieve. I've actually enjoyed that. I think it's fun when it can be its own separate.
I can't bring myself to watch it.
Sitcom. It's actually, I have a good time. Good performances.
It's fun.
Interesting concept that's not trying to do too much. Obviously, there's plenty of little Easter eggs that are like, this could change everything. But I think I know, I'm starting to find out how to sort these things. It's like Marie Kondo. What's like the keep and the throwaway?
This doesn't bring me joy.
Yeah. Like, this brings me joy and that doesn't. Among all the wonderful things to watch right now, there really is a lot. I am overwhelmed. Something happens in the fall a lot of times to where the summer is like, oh, I've done everything. Like, I've watched all the things. And then when life gets busy again for me going back to school, everything just drops. Like, all at once, there's no normal day that things happen anymore. It doesn't necessarily have to be the weekend. It can be a Tuesday. And now there's two episodes on this Friday, and now there's another one on the Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so I'm behind in The House of Dragon. I'm behind, the most behind you could possibly be, in Rings of Power. And I want to give you guys a little bit of time to talk about that, because that is the big energy. Rings of Power is a show that we talked about more than 2 years ago on this podcast. No, it was one of the very first episodes that we had, is when Bezos had announced that he wanted to invest $1 billion into a Tolkien, Silmarillion-esque story for Amazon. I'm going to give you guys some time. I'm going to mute this boy to talk about that because I do know that the Discord is clamoring and we're big Lord of the Rings fans over here. Breaks my heart that I can't be a part of this convo, but the setting wasn't quite right. But I am excited to watch this weekend. So I'm gonna pull out my headphones and then y'all give me a heads up, cool. thumbs up when you're done talking about it.
Fair enough. Yeah. So full disclosure, episode 3 came out the night before we are recording this and neither of us was able to watch it before this recording.
Yeah. So we're an episode behind, I guess.
We've only seen
all you fine folks who watched the newest one this weekend.
Two. Now here's what I will say. I have been a real cynical boy about franchises recently. No secret. You just heard me take a dump all over Star Wars, which is something I used to love. And the MCU is really scaring me and is making me think that it's probably headed the way of Star Wars, if I'm being honest. And I think I just told Callie this last week that I think we will look back one day sooner than later and be like, they should have just stopped at Endgame. It was done. They should have been finished and just gone out on top. And now they will fizzle. It brings me great joy to tell you, dear listener, my early opinion is that we do not need to worry about this with Rings of Power. This show slaps.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good, which is surprising. I think it succeeds in spite of itself to me. Conceptually, I've always had a problem with it. And I think that's because Bezos was only able to purchase the rights to like The Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And so all of the information about the first age and the second age that we see in the show is taken from the appendices of Return of the King. And so like there are things that happen in the Silmarillion that we're not able to talk about or show in the show here. And where our characters' backstories would intersect with those moments, we kind of have to write a new fan fiction-y history for them, which is...
sure.
Not my favorite, but at the end of the day, it's an adaptation in the exact same way that The Fellowship of the Ring was an adaptation. And Aragorn's not 80 in the movie because that would look kind of silly. He's 80 in the book, but he's not 80 in the movie. So it's a different thing. It's its own thing. And it is somewhere in between like an incredibly faithful, completely dry adaptation and the absolute bonkers balls to the wall like Shadow of Mordor type of thing where it's like, what is this?
Right.
It's fun, man. I loved it. I absolutely loved those first two episodes.
Yeah, it is the lock-in moment for me that it became more than hopeful but confident that the show had it and had something special was the lift ride up out of Khazad Dûm.
Khazad Dûm, yeah.
And it was just Elrond and... I'm sorry, what's the...
Durin.
Yeah, Durin. It was Elrond and Durin just talking about their friendship and how Elrond had hurt Durin's feelings. And all I could think was just, this is Tolkien. Like, Tolkien gives space for interpersonal relationships to take the forefront instead of backstabbing and betrayal and like the real Game of Thronesy stuff. There's room for
now it is
friendship to matter.
It is going to end rough between the elves and the dwarves.
Sure, yes. I'm just saying we're building our momentum on the backs of interpersonal relationships versus the backs of political promises and intrigue.
Which is going to make it hurt even more once Khazad Dûm is inevitably renamed to Moria, which means dark hole.
Right.
Going to be that extra little twist of the knife.
Well, and I mean, Durin's Bane is the name of the Balrog from Moria, and we have seen Balrogs in the trailer, so...
No, they're going to... That was total foreshadowing, by the way, from Durin's wife, of like talking about resonating...
Singing.
...the mountain, singing and the like mountain. We know when we should leave it alone, which is awesome, because in Fellowship, it was always presented as like the dwarves, like blind greed led them to keep digging and unleash the Balrog, but in actuality, they were deceived and influenced by Sauron and the return of Sauron, and so... Right. It will make it a little more tragic when the Balrog is inevitably released in the show. Jordan, do you have any theories as to who the stranger is? And you know what? Maybe they revealed that in episode 3. And
this could be instantly dated pretty bad. I wanted it. Well, not I didn't actually want it, but I thought it would be very fun for it to be Tom Bombadil, but I just sort of feel like he existed before the planes of time and space
exactly.
even existed. Like
Tom Bombadil might actually be Tolkien himself.
Sure. No, yeah. I think there's only two options in my brain, which is that he is either Sauron himself, which I don't think he is, but the death.
Oh, see,
of,
I do.
The death of the Fireflies and the fire being cool to the touch makes me think that it is likely. I think what is more likely and what I hope he is a blue wizard, a precursor to the Greys.
Absolutely. Yep.
Because I don't know that I'm convinced we only saw one comet fall. I think we might have seen multiple people seeing multiple comets. And there might be, what is it, three blue wizards? Five blue wizards?
I think there's two. I thought there was two blue wizards.
Is it just two?
Yeah.
Anywho, I'm not convinced it's Sauron. I recently tried to stop reading like online theories about shows that I like because when I like a theory and it doesn't happen, I get pissed. So I don't know what the online verse is saying. What you think it is, Sauron?
I think it is Sauron just because the fire cool to the touch, the overhead shot of him in the middle of the crater. Like was very like looked like an eye.
Oh, for sure.
I think it would be really easy to draw the same symbology to Sauron. But that was also my other thought is like it could also be one of the first incarnations of the Maiar as a blue wizard to
basically
warn people. It looked like I saw a post that was comparing like the constellation the Fireflies made with like a figure on the map in the mountain range where Mordor will eventually come to be.
Sure.
And it's like, okay, so this guy might be trying to get to Mordor. He's either trying to set up shop there as Sauron, or he's trying go warn the people who live there, get out of here, something bad's coming.
My final real theory about the show is that Halbrand, the man on the raft with Galadriel, is the Witch King of Angmar.
Oh, cool.
He said he's from a land from the south that has no king. He's clearly running from something. He knows more than he's letting on. I just think it would be really cool to build up a character and then have them ultimately turn tail, side with Sauron, and be the witch. I mean, he could be from, I don't know where Angmar is, but I know it's from the south.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Just to sort of wrap this discussion up, for me, I would say the performances range from fine to pretty great, actually.
Morfydd Clark is fantastic.
Agreed.
Absolutely love her as Galadriel. Absolutely love, what's his name, as Elrond.
Elrond.
Completely buy it.
Celebrimbor.
Celebrimbor is very good.
So good.
I do miss the like really Peter Jackson-y long hair elves. The elf mullets aren't doing it for me so much.
I did see somebody say that the elves are in their 60s Beatles phase, which is fun. I appreciate that. But music, fantastic. CG, fantastic. Yeah. The fights that we have seen have been very cool.
The orc was wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, dude. So scary.
Absolutely
so
wonderful.
Huge, I don't know names yet. Huge fan of the elf that is in love with Barney's British girlfriend from How I Met Your Mother. Hold on. Let me find his name. Looks like Arondir, mm-hmm. somewhere in there. That dude, first of all, handsome. Second of all, looks super cool. Third of all, I'm hoping that episode 3 finds us watching him come to the end of the tunnel that he is currently heading down.
I mean, those hands grabbed him and pulled him to the end. So he's there for sure.
I want
to
watch it. I'm very pumped. I don't know. I'm riding high on this thing, man.
Me too. It's fun. It's like really fun and really good in a way that TV hasn't been for me in a while.
I need it. In a way that franchise TV hasn't been in a way for me.
Sure.
For a while.
Yeah. I'm deep in the terminal stages of Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
So
Better
for
Call
me to
Saul,
say TV hasn't been good is a little bit of a misrepresentation.
No, but some of my cold heart over the last 6 months has been thawed and I'm very happy. I'm very happy.
I'm back. That seemed like a great discussion.
Felt good.
Yeah. Felt good.
We'll see.
I do have one question. Do we like our Galadriel?
Yes.
So much. She's my favorite part of the show.
Okay.
She's
I'm so excited.
Fantastic.
For her.
Absolutely.
Galadriel was already one of my favorite characters.
Absolutely buy her as a young Cate Blanchett, too.
100%.
Looks exactly like her.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. As we wrap today's episode, I'm going to read a list. Now, this isn't a ranking anymore, it's a list.
Okay.
I'm going to read a list of movies to you, and you need to tell me what they have in common. The Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, Captain America, Civil War, The Fate of the Furious, Frozen, Star Wars, The Last Jedi, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 2, Black Panther, Avengers, Age of Ultron. What do you think these all have in common?
We've talked about them on our podcast.
They were all just passed over this last run by Top Gun Maverick as the highest grossing films of all time.
Wow.
Top Gun Maverick is 12th on the worldwide list, and it has its sights set for the top 10, meaning it's only 8 million away from beating Frozen 2. It's only about 60 million away from beating Furious 7, a favorite of this podcast. Wow. And
my favorite movie of all time.
3 million more past that beats The Avengers.
That's crazy.
Top Gun Maverick.
I mean, it's going to happen in today's.
It's because there's real pilots in real planes pulling real G's, and you can tell.
And you can tell. Lovely media junket there, Mr. Cruz. To end today's episode, I'd love to have your name, and I want you to tell me what is the next Top Gun Maverick? Mm. Okay? So our formula here is likely going to be something along the lines of something that already existed, but we're bringing it back. What did we call that? What's the term for that when it's the...
It's a legacy sequel.
Legacy sequel. So perhaps it's a legacy sequel. I'm Carter. And it's hard not to stay in the action genre for a legacy sequel. So I'm going to stay there. And not only that, I'm going to stay in the air. And I think what we're going to have here is an announcement, which it's honestly, in the grand scheme of things, it's not good for the new Indiana Jones movie. But we do know that Harrison Ford was making another movie. Mm. We didn't know he was also making another movie while he was making another movie. He's elected president again to another term.
Air Force Two. Yeah, no, we got it.
Air Force One. It's still called Air Force One. Air Force One Two.
Yeah. Very good.
Air Force One Two, starring Harrison Ford.
And the press junket, he's like, everybody keeps asking if it's Air Force 12. And that's frankly ridiculous.
Can't abide this, Harry.
Frankly ridiculous sounds like a think tank, like brainstorm of a new Bond, like Vixen. And they're like, nah, that's not going to be it.
No.
It doesn't make any sense. It's not sexy enough.
Her name is Francesca Ridiculous. But everybody calls her Frankly Ridiculous.
Well, hello, Mr. Bond.
You're Frankly Ridiculous, my dear.
You really thought we'd just let you have the diamonds?
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. Pull my gold finger.
So stupid.
That's dumb. I'm Doge, and the real legacy sequel is going to be Star Wars Episode 10, Oops, All Jedi. And in this one, there's nobody with a gun, but everybody has a lightsaber. And it's a total departure for the franchise. We're bringing in like Trent Reznor to do the music, but there's going to be a lot of needle drops, a lot of Papa Roach, which is funny that we've been giving Papa Roach a lot of airtime lately because Papa Roach is confirmed to be a featured artist in Star Wars Episode 10, Oops, All Jedi.
Yeah. What else is in Star Wars Episode 10, Oops, All Jedi?
Well, all of them are Jedis.
I assume it's going to be a lot of Imagine Dragon songs.
Yeah.
They're going to give some unknown up-and-coming directors a bunch of chances to direct.
Yeah.
Actors we've never heard of.
It's going to be awesome. We're going to find out Darth Vader is actually still alive.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right. That'll be great.
It's like I thought it would be funny to joke about that, but it actually does bum me out so much.
It's scaring me.
It does bum me out so much how Disney lately has been like, it doesn't really matter what it is. As long as there's some Star Wars in it, people are going to love it, right?
Right. Kind of feels like is what's happening to Marvel as well. I'm Jordan. It has been decades since The end.
13 angry men.
Oh my.
They had a boy. It's been decades. The money has dried up long ago. The workers went home. There's nobody left to help because the gift has been squandered. And the man who gave the gift is unhappy with his successor's work. And one night while walking home from the factory, he hears a song from the dark, dark alleyway. Oompa Loompa Doompa Dee Dee. You better run or you're gonna bleed. Willy Wonka Retribution coming to theaters next November. They gotta have a colon. Every Legacy sequel's gotta have a colon.
How to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.